In the background is the Garth Null Piano Quartet. I'm joined in studio by some good friends of mine, and they're both very humble, but I'm going to go ahead and make this a little bit awkward for them. I'm joined in studio by Jeanette Fang. Since 2015, Jeanette has been the pianist in the Garth Null Piano Quartet. She is incredibly humble about her accomplishments, but I don't have to be. She received the gold medal at the 2013 Seattle International Piano Competition, where she also received the President's Award and the Audience Favorite Prize. She has earned top prizes in the Dallas Chamber Symphony International Piano Competition, the MTNA Young Artist National Competition. She is a recipient of the Earl V. Moore Award, the Gottlieb Award given by the University of Michigan, and the Elizabeth Parasot Award given at Yale School of Music. She is a winner of the Carl Fried Norman Scholarship Piano Competition at Juilliard and was a National Presidential Scholar in the year 2003. I often wonder what Jeanette could have done with her life if she had applied herself just a little bit more. Sean Puller is the executive director of the Garth Null Music Center for almost a decade now. He earned a bachelor's degree in science of music teaching education from Indiana University of Pennsylvania, a master's degree in vocal performance from Ithaca College, and he went on to earn his PhD in music teacher education from Florida State University. How are you all doing?
Great.
Good. Who are those people?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't recognize all this.
Well, I'm glad you guys are in here, and it's a great day for Allegheny Mountain Radio, Garth Null Music Center. You guys are about to start into a new season. I can only imagine what that's like, the build-up to a new season going into a new year. Sean, I want to give you a little bit of runway and just ask you what goes into sort of the behind-the-scenes sausage making of getting a season together.
the bulk of the sausage making happens with the artistic directors because they're the ones that do all the programming behind the scenes down in the administrative office. Of course, there's always just the finances, end of year stuff, making sure that the ducks are in a line as we gear up for the second half of our 50th anniversary year. So there's just been a lot in the works. And to be honest, at this point, what we're really doing is planning next year. Right. Because this year's already been in the books, really, for months and months and months and months. So all of the stuff that's happening behind the scenes right now is about what's going to happen from July 1st, 2024 through the end of June of 2025.
Okay. So, you know, you guys always start off with a pub series. It's an opportunity to bring some folks in, maybe even bring in different genres of music, different musicians than maybe you would typically hear during your concert season. You know, and I'll direct this one to you again, Sean, because we'll ignore you once you give me this answer. But no, I mean, you know, what can a first-time patron or someone coming to the pub series, like, what can you expect? You know, what can someone expect?
Well, the pub series, and we have a couple concert series like that, but the pub series really is there to get the doors open, to get people in. I mean, the winter months here can be very dismal. And, you know, the hay days are in the summer and the fall, but the winter slows down quite a bit. And the pub concerts are really informal. The piano comes down into the middle of the floor. If it's cold enough, we'll light the fireplaces. The cash bar is open. Chef Josh makes a little tiny nibble for people to nosh on afterwards when people get to interact and visit with the musicians and talk about what they just heard. The pub concert is also really cool because it's the quartet gets to experiment. So there's some really cool music that gets played that wouldn't necessarily end up on like one of the main stage concerts in the middle of the year. Fun stuff, quirky stuff, and you know, Jeanette will talk about this a lot, a premiere is coming up for a piece that was absolutely written for the quartet, and that's been years in the making now, and we finally get to bring it forward. So what it is an informal, relaxed, fun atmosphere where you really get to visit and get to know the people in our community who are also the amazing musicians of the Garth Null Piano Quartet.
Well, thank you for that. And I'll tell you what. So, Jeanette, here's one for you. And I'm a big sports fan. So, in the off season, you know, athletes, they're decompressing. They're kind of getting some rest. They're taking time off, letting their bodies heal. And then in the ramp up to their season, they sort of get back into their training regimen, get themselves ready physically and mentally for the grind of the season. Mm-hmm. As a professional musician, do you have a similar sort of pattern of off-season behavior, or how does that work for you personally?
That's a great analogy, actually. Sports and music, often the preparation goes hand in hand, I think. For us, I think the month of January does kind of function as preparation for the month of February, which has a concert every single week, every Saturday at 6 p.m. And what we do is we learn the music, we get mentally prepared, and that also seems to go for before every big concert season, we do a lot of this preparation. And in the week leading up, we do a lot of rehearsing.
Well, I'll tell you, if you're just joining us, the voice you just heard is that of Jeanette Fang. She is the pianist of the Garth Null Piano Quartet, joined in studio by Executive Director Sean Puller, talking about the upcoming season at the Garth Null Music Center. And Sean led in a little bit earlier, talking about the piece that has been written for you guys, Unbridled. Now, before we go too far down the road, I want to talk about Daniel Temkin for a minute, because he is also a very accomplished individual. Daniel Temkin has been a composer in residence with music from Angel Fire, that's in New Mexico, Chamber Music Northwest, Portland, Chamber Music by the Bay in San Francisco, and the Intimacy of Creativity Festival in Hong Kong. He's received grants from the New Music USA, the American Composers Forum, the Aaron Copland Fund, the Alice M. Ditson Fund, and the Theodore Presser Foundation, just to name a few. And awards, let's just forget about it. He's won numerous of them. The Symphony Award from the Marilyn K. Glick Prize, 2 BMI Composer Awards, an honorable mention as MTNA's Distinguished Composer of the Year. And one of the most interesting things about Daniel is that he wrote a 4-part ethical artistry series that I've been working through. And I'll share a passage that resonated with me as our Allegheny Mountain Radio is about to enter into Bath Bluegrass Jamboree season, and you guys are starting off a concert season. And the quote says, "If we're not careful, we can easily take for granted the ways in which concerts provide a vital point of connection to a public audience that may not have an intimate knowledge of the musical world we inhabit. Because of this, we not only have a chance to connect to our audience, but an obligation to help guide their concert experience in meaningful ways. If we don't embrace this responsibility and challenge, we miss the opportunity to showcase the beauty and relevance of our unique artistic world. Or worse, we risk turning people off from it." Those are powerful words. Daniel Temkin, how did you guys end up with him writing a piece for you specifically?
Yes, as Sean mentioned, it's been years in the making. And Dan is a beautiful composer. And one of the things that we resonated with him was that he tries to capture natural elements that are timeless, and he tries to portray that in music. And I think that's why the situation of Garth Null, the setting and the beauty of the landscape is what really inspired him. And so he wanted to capture that, the spirit of the place, the spirit of its history, and also just the timelessness of the surroundings. And that's why we're so excited. And to answer your question, I've known Dan for quite a few years now. Okay. His wife is a good friend of mine. She's a beautiful pianist. And he has always been somebody that has supported everything that we do. And ever since we started talking, which was probably in 2018, 2019, we had this idea of him coming here and writing a piece for us. And when I told him that Herder Hall is a converted horse, you know, it used to be a horse showcase ring, he glommed onto that with just this excitement. And so, as you can tell from the title of the piece, Unbridled is about the wildness of horses and the playing and the riding, and then the inspiration of the past, which created the future. And he invited us for a residency at Bucknell, and we got to know his music more. We played a piano trio by him called Flow. And then he had applied for a few grants and then had started working on this piece. And then, of course, you know, the pandemic kind of put a stop into any forward momentum then. But afterwards, we were able to continue working on this project.
Well, you know, and you talk about residencies, and he's going to be in residency at the Garth Newell Music Center. So, Sean, I'll ask you, you know, when someone comes to do a residency at Garth Newell, you know, as a layperson in the field that you guys walk and play and live in, you know, what does that encompass?
Let's face it, most of, when you think of classical music and the people inhabit that world, it's usually in cities. You know, it's in metropolitan areas, and that's where you go because that's where you can get the work, and that's where you can get, if you're a composer, you can get your stuff played. You have to have access to that. But one of the beautiful things, so attractive about this area, to be in residency here, is to come into this county to experience the beauty of nature here, the quietude, the unplugged aspect of being here, the lack of electronic wallpaper, the lack of traffic lights. It really, I think, calms the nervous system down and provides a beautiful background that you can reconnect with yourself and your creativity. So when you come to Garth Newell, we try so very hard to provide beautiful hospitality that a composer or a musician coming in would have this sense of home. As we've said before on this show, Garth Newell means new home. And there is such an important aspect of having people feel welcomed home. So when they're in residency, they get to live, eat, breathe with us. They get to talk to the musicians and work with them. In this case, because it's his piece and they're premiering it, there'll be this really intimate conversation happening as they try to bring the black dots on the page into real life and real time. So it's a beautiful thing to be able to offer someone an opportunity to come to Bath County, to come to Garth Newell, and to be in residency here.
And if I can just add, one of the great things about having a composer in residence, especially for his music, is for the audience and the community to get to know a living composer and to get to interact with somebody who created the notes. So often in classical music, the composer's long gone, right, and you can't really ask them what they thought and what their inspiration was. But it's so important to know that music is being created constantly in today's time for our players in this field. And I think that Daniel speaks about his music really well, but he's also a normal guy. And so I think that everyone would benefit from getting to just have a conversation with him and knowing that that creativity is still relevant.
Well, I'll tell you, if you're just tuning in, the voice you just heard is that of Jeanette Fang. Before that was Sean Poehler. They're here from the Garth Newell Music Center. What we're going to do at this time is we're going to transition into a message from an underwriter. We have a PSA. Check on the weather, and we'll be back with another segment. Thank you all for coming in. Really appreciate your time. You've made the show markedly better. Thanks. I am back in the studio, and I'm going to turn their mic on with Sean Poehler and Jeanette Fang from the Garth Newell Music Center. We've been talking about the upcoming concert series. The Pub Series kicks off their new year. It's a series where it's a pay-as-you-wish opportunity for folks to come in and see what's going on up on the hill and listen to some great music. And I know the season, we talked about Daniel Timken and Unbridled, the first show that's going to be February 3rd, 6 p.m. That's this upcoming Saturday at Garth Newell Music Center. But, you know, you've got some other events planned on. So what else you got coming up in the month?
All right. So the whole month of February is what we call the Winter Chill Fest. It's got pub concerts in it. But we also have next week coming in, we have this group that's really hard to nail down. It's called Invoke. And it is, they're pretty exciting because it's hard to put them in a pigeonhole. Right. So blues, jazz, a little classical, some folk, some outside the coloring lines.
Okay.
How about that? So that's next week. There's a little bit of a, if you want, you can get the optional picnic beforehand. That's at 6 o'clock, and then the concert kicks off at 7:30. And 6 o'clock the next week, we have a red carpet moment with the next pub series. And we finish off February, the whole winter blues, or the winter chill fest, with a great recital of Beethoven violin sonatas. So it's going to be a pretty awesome month of February. Then a little bit of a break.
Well, you know, you talked about the Invoke, and you brought up a question that wasn't originally scheduled or planned, but you talk about, you know, blending and mixing genres, and as someone who is a trained vocalist and as a classically trained pianist, you know, do you ever have the temptation or want to sort of blend, you know, your backgrounds or meld, you know, like, how does that work or sound like, you know, what's something that, or, you know, jazz fusion or something like that, you know, how would that work in your world? Or what are some combinations that you sort of like?
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons I love new music, is because you can't really pin down what new music is. It's all these different inspirations and genres, and often they take, for me, I enjoy like a rock inspiration. I enjoy drum set. I enjoy having a really exciting beat in there, because that's what makes music so full of intensity. And we try to do collaborations with different artists. I think last year we did a collaboration with Lenora Helm, who is one of the premier jazz artists, and she wrote us a piece because she wanted to write for a classical genre, right. But she also wanted to have her voice and have us experiment with improvisation, which we're not comfortable with, but we want to be more. And I think absolutely fusion is the way of the future.
Okay. How about you, Sean? I mean,
I just don't anymore. You don't have the luxury of just putting yourself into a small lane.
Right.
Because the stuff that's being written now breaks all the rules. So, you know, even when I was going to school, it was pretty tracked. You know, you did opera. There was maybe some looking down on even like music theater,
right,
sort of genres. And improvisation, oh heck no. You know, maybe a little bit when you were talking about Baroque music, but that's very stylized and very rigid with rules about what you can and cannot do in terms of the improvisation there. But today, you know, the young composers are borrowing everywhere.
Right.
I mean, there just isn't this sense of tightly defined genres. People are borrowing from popular styles, from rap, from pop, from country. And then also, you know, because the internet connects us so easily, you know, musics from different cultures are weaving them,
right,
at a greater rate, though, Danny. It's always happened. I mean, there's been borrowing that goes back to the 18th century for sure. But I think because of how easy it is to have access to different sounds, different instruments, different ways of conceptualizing music, the boundaries are just sort of disappearing. And as a musician,
yeah.
I mean, you have to bring that off the page, because we have a notation system that's a shorthand that isn't really keeping up with what's possible these days. You know, when you see some of the modern scores, it's tricky to interpret what exactly is wanted in a classical instrument that someone is trying to get you to make a sound of an instrument that's Chinese or Indian or from another culture. It's very interesting.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, as far as the folks that have been coming through over the last few weeks and months, you know, we've been blessed on our airwaves to have a lot of people with a lot of different diverse backgrounds. And, you know, you two folks being squarely planted in music as a vocation, how do you go into educating these children about their possibilities, the opportunities, and the avenues for them to be able to express themselves creatively?
I think it is something about not feeling scared of classical music. I think that there's always been an issue with the branding of classical music, that it's something that you can't really access unless you're at a certain education level or a certain wealth class. And I think that's such a misconception and so detrimental, because music is for everyone. And I think that what we're trying to really convey to kids, to people who are just coming into the world and discovering everything, is that you have absolutely the same right to be there and enjoy the music and to be a part of it as anyone else. And it's just, anyone can express. Music is expression. It's about communication. And if you have that desire, then you can be a musician. And I think that's the message that we want to convey.
Amen. Yeah.
And I think picking up on that, another really important thing is access. Mm-hmm. You have to have access to performances. And what's so, I think, just mind-blowing about being in Bath County is that there is instant access, including pay-as-you-wish concerts, getting kids involved in the string program. Really, we are so busy. I think last year it was over 50 concerts that were taking place. There is immediate availability. I like to think of it as food. Okay. If you grow up in a small community and the only thing that you've ever tasted or tried or been familiar with is vanilla chocolate and strawberry ice cream, and that's all you know of the concept of ice cream, you can't even dream of pistachio. You can't dream of butter brickle or Ben and Jerry's Chubby Hubby, or I don't know why I brought that one up. But you know what I mean? You can't dream unless you have exposure and access. And, you know, it doesn't mean you have to partake of it as the sole thing, but it's part of the human experience. It's part of what it means to be a human being on this planet. It's expression, as Jeanette just said, and it's very well worth the time to connect with your human self.
Well, I'll tell you, the concert series are going to start this Saturday, February 3rd, 6 p.m. at the Garthnell Music Center. It's going to open with Unbridled, a piece written specifically for the Garthnell Piano Quartet by composer Daniel Timken. I truly appreciate the time that you all have given. You've made the show better. And before I get you out of here, I want to have a couple this or that questions.
Okay.
Get you out of here. I'm going to start with you, Jeanette. Would you rather have security or adventure?
Adventure.
Sean, I'm going to alternate back and forth. Intelligence or strength? There's a shot in there somewhere.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm going to have to go with strength.
All right. False hope or irrational anxiety?
False hope.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ostriches, right? Yeah. I don't want to know.
Sean, would you rather be able to pause time or rewind it?
Oh, jeez. I think pause.
All right, Jeanette, the ability to fly or to read minds?
Oh, fly.
God, can you imagine?
I don't want to know what's in someone's
mind. Could you imagine the curse? that you'd be able to hear everyone's thoughts? Oh, that'd be terrible.
All right, here you go, Sean. Would you rather be 6 inches taller or have $100,000 more money? Mm.
Easy. Show me the money.
Jeanette, would you rather be a child forever or an adult forever?
Oh, child.
Oh, well. Easy. That's the easy one. All right, here we go. Let's going to go some funny ones. I'm going to get you guys out of here with this. Do you snort when you laugh, Sean, or would you rather sweat when you're nervous?
Oh, I do both. I don't know that I'd rather do one or the other, but I do both.
So let me ask you this then, Jeanette. Would you rather be a bad dancer or tell bad jokes?
Bad dancer. Because everyone's a bad dancer.
Pet monkey or pet pig, Sean?
Really? I'm going to go with the pig. A little pot-belly pig. I'd go with that one.
And we're going to get both of you out of here with this one and know what both of you think about this. Would you rather write a best-selling novel or direct a blockbuster movie? I got a feeling I know what you might say.
Oh, really? What do you think I'm going
to
say?
I would say that you would direct the film because then you would be your husband's boss and he'd have to listen to you.
Oh, but I'm always his boss anyway.
Oh, well then, never mind.
He's listening right now.
Okay.
No, I would definitely write a novel.
Okay. And how about you?
Same.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you all for coming in. Really appreciate your time. And again, February 3rd at 6 p.m. is going to be the premiere, world premiere, of Daniel Timken's new piece called Unbridled, written specifically for the Garthnell Piano Quartet. Thank you all for your time. What we're going to do now is hear a song, and we'll be back with some town criers. Stay tuned.
On a warm summer's eve.